This podcast is part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To find other great shows on the network, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
Hello, listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Hello.
We are a film podcast inspired by the quid pro quo scene in Silence of the Lambs. Each month we pick a theme, and each week one of us picks a movie that falls within that theme. And we are in week two of Allie Appreciation Month because it's my birthday.
It's your birthday.
It's my birthday month. It's my fucking birthday. And that's going to be Matt's pick. But Matt, before we get to your pick.
Yo, did you guys see that outfit that Zendaya wore to the, because that's another great thing.
The Dune premiere?
That's another great thing about March. We got Dune Part 2 dropping this month.
But the urine and feces are not processed in those thigh pads.
But then did you see
pads.
What she changed into? It was like, ugh, it's fire.
The one after the clear outfit?
The one after like the silver cyborg outfit.
I didn't see that.
Oh,
that
gorgeous.
One. I sent you guys the text of that.
I mean, I was too distracted by Anya Taylor-Joy looking like a spooky load from High Spirits.
Yeah, I guess Anya Taylor-Joy is in the movie, but we don't know who as who.
Aaliyah?
Yeah, she's going to be the sister.
Florence Pugh also looked amazing.
I mean, Kyle and Leah, speaking of Florence Pugh, Kyle and Leah, like, apparently watched Oppenheimer last night. He was real excited to see the pubies.
He didn't say that to me. He was gushing over Josh Hartnett in the text to me. He was like, so we're watching Oppenheimer. Gee, I didn't know Josh Hartnett was in it. And then I was like, I know. Given real Indiana Jones vibes, right? He's like, dude, you're so right. He's like blowing me away. I'm like, all right, calm down. All right.
Well, we haven't seen Josh Hartnett in a little bit.
We have not seen Josh Hartnett.
It was nice to see him.
In a beat, and he looks great. And still yummy.
He is aging well, for sure.
Yum.
Like a fine wine.
I was listening to a podcast and they were covering 30 Days of Night the other day. And I feel like that was like the last, like, I mean, he's been in stuff, like, but mostly like shows, I feel like.
Lucky Number 11?
Yeah, that was a movie he was in. But 30 Days of Night is the vampire one in Alaska.
Yeah,
and like I feel like that was like the last big like movie he was in. I feel
the
like
the last thing he was like you said, like shows. He was on that show.
He was on Penny Dreadful.
Yeah, Penny Dreadful. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he's just like I feel like Oppenheimer was like return for him. Even though he's not like, it's not a huge part, but like there's so many people in that movie that it's no one really has a big part except for Killian and Matt Damon.
It was a great ensemble cast. Hopefully, you know, they win, like, because, you know, we're still in our time bubble. The Oscars haven't happened yet and the SAGs haven't happened yet.
No.
We hope that it might possibly win Best Cast.
Well, you know, they're not this year, but they've announced a new category in the Oscars that's going to happen next year.
Breakdancing?
That's in the Olympics this year. Oh, very excited. Best Casting. They're going to give an Oscar for Best Casting.
It should. And do you think that if they made Iron Man 1 next year, that whoever cast Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark would deserve an Oscar?
No, but that's fine.
Wow, I
disagree. That's an interesting category.
Yeah, John Favreau does deserve an award.
I mean, you have to think about, like,
it doesn't have to be a star-studded cast to be best cast.
No, but
you know?
And, like, you also have to think about, like, the person who casts it determines this person's trajectory of their career.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the person who cast, what's his name, is Han Solo, or is Indiana Jones, that was his career for the rest of his life. The person who cast RDJ as Iron Man, he is now Iron Man.
Captain America.
Oh, yeah. And now
they determine a person's
and
career.
And now, Warner Brothers releasing a new Harry Potter series for the next 7 years, that they're going to be recasting.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the whole Harry Potter
franchise.
Are they
retelling the stories?
They're going to do a show on HBO.
They're doing they're going to do a season for each book. And
this
it's going to be the most money they've ever spent on any series.
That's crazy.
But they're going to have to recast. So it's like, okay, well, how are they ever going
Daniel Radcliffe still looks 10. You can't tell me otherwise.
I'm sorry. Speaking of, you know, also perfect casting, whoever cast him as Weird Al.
Love that Weird Al biopic. The movie was awesome.
I loved that. It was hilarious.
I should have picked that movie.
It was fucking
so good.
Awesome.
I would say, like, for best casting, like Tarantino movies would probably get nominated. Like people who do the casting for those movies are like,
you know, who also, genius. You know, another set of filmmakers that could probably be a contender for best casting, the Coen brothers.
Yes, absolutely. Well, especially for this movie.
I mean, they're all right.
George Clooney's in it.
Well, speaking of the Coen brothers, Matt, yes. What have you picked for me?
My movie came out in 2008 with an estimated budget of $37 million, a U.S. gross of approximately $61 million, with a Rotten Tomato score of 78%. Hmm. It was directed by Ethan and Joel Coen. You may know them as Quad Pro Quo alums from Raising Arizona. They also did Miller's Crossing and True Grit. It was written by Joel and Ethan Coen. There's a distinction there. They always do that.
Oh, one of them is Ethan and Joel, and then Joel and Ethan. Yeah.
You may know their writing skills from Fargo, The Big Lebowski, and No Country for Old Men. My movie is Burn After Reading.
Madola found like this CD just lying in a locker.
On the floor there.
Yeah, and it's these files, man.
I'm not comfortable with this.
It was just lying there.
You should put up a note in the ladies' locker room.
Put up a note? Hello? Did anybody lose their secret CIA shit? I don't think so.
Oh, and also, yeah, sorry. There's like a... This is like any Coen Brothers movie. It's a huge ensemble cast starring Brad Pitt, Quad Pro Quo alum from my movie Bullet Train.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He was also in 7 Years in Tibet.
Ugh.
And Sleepers.
Among other things.
Sleepers?
I don't know. It also stars George Clooney. You may know him from Spy Kids, Unbecoming Age, and Batman and Robin.
Were there nipples on his suit?
Yeah, there were nipples on his bat suit.
That's what I thought.
Tilda Swinton. I mean, what's a Tilda Swinton?
A bitch.
The internet.
Tubes.
And no one knows.
That's
the president. Tubes and no one knows.
It also has Frances McDormand from Almost Famous, Nomadland, and Fargo. I think this is the first. This is the first two-time Quad Pro Quo alum we've had. John Malkovich. You may remember him from Baby Bale, aka Empire of the Sun, and our first annual cage match as Cyrus the Virus in Con Air.
The best.
He was also in the Line of Fire, and he is my favorite Biff Loman. And finally, Richard Jenkins, also another Quad Pro Quo alum from The Shape of Water, Step Brothers, and Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, I love Cabin in the Woods.
Also, yeah, I just going to say this now. I picked this movie because Allie said that she hasn't seen a lot of Coen Brothers movies.
I've seen three.
Yeah, she's seen, like, obviously she's seen Raising Arizona. She's seen The Big Lebowski.
Four then.
She's seen Raising Arizona. She's seen The Big Lebowski. She's seen No Country for Old Men.
I've seen Blood Simple.
And Blood Simple prior to this. So I was like, shit, she's like, I've never seen Fargo. And I'm like, shit.
All the way through, yeah.
I was like, I could pick Fargo. But I'm sorry, I was just like, with this cast, because I know people were in it that I know she really likes, i.e., you know.
And based off my choice, you know I like stupid shit.
Yeah, this was definitely on par with your pick for this month.
So like,
silly, in the silly category.
So like, I was just like, I know she really likes George Clooney, and I know she really likes Brad Pitt.
True statement.
So I went with this over Fargo. So let's go around the room. Have you seen it? What were your thoughts about me picking it? Allie, will you at least know you haven't seen this, but what were your thoughts about me picking
it? I haven't seen it. I was excited to watch it. I remember my parents went and saw it in theater and loved it.
I saw it in theaters also. I also loved it.
And you are right. I do love Brad Pitt and George Clooney and Tilda Swinton. So yeah, I was
and
excited.
And what's the lady's name? Lynch?
Who?
The character. The lady that...
Linda Litsky.
I am not a huge Frances McDormand person. Oh, I thought you liked her.
I mean, I like her and I think she's a good actress, but like her off screen kind of annoys me a little bit.
You mean
like,
Joel Cohen's wife?
Yes, I do.
Oh, that's his wife?
Yeah, she's married to one of the directors.
Oh,
yeah.
Got it.
So I was excited, yes.
Tammy?
I had seen this before and I was looking forward to watching it again.
Guido?
Because I was...
Oh, I've seen this movie before.
Yeah.
I thought it's silly. I worked a lot of customer service, and this movie is just have the dumbest people on the planet in it. And I used to have to talk to those kinds of people all day. And they have their own movie. Not only the dumbest motherfuckers, but the most selfish motherfuckers like George Clooney.
All right. Well, okay. So before we get into it, I just wanted to say that fun fact about this cast, it includes 5 Oscar winners.
Oh, let me guess them.
Damn.
Let me guess them.
George.
Yes.
Brad.
Yeah.
Frances McDormand.
Yes.
Tilda Swinton.
Yes.
And John Malkovich doesn't have one.
That's a
Richard
crime.
Richard Jenkins doesn't have one. Do the Coen brothers counter him? Or are we talking about the cast?
Cast.
Oh. Oh, J.K. Simmons.
Yes. And it also has 2 Oscar nominees in Richard Jenkins. And
John Malkovich.
Was it for Whiplash?
Yes, that's what J.K. Simmons won for, yes.
Going into this movie, judging from the trailers and the opening credits, we're led to believe that this is some sort of high-stakes espionage thriller. Opening on CIA headquarters in Langley, we are introduced to Osborne Cox, played by John Malkovich, who is in with a meeting with his superiors. It doesn't really go well.
He has an alcohol problem.
He ends up quitting after a crazy outburst. He just goes off. He's like dropping F-bombs. He literally drops the F-bomb, like, he says fuck, like, 6 times.
He does it really well.
In this opening sequence.
Is he being fired, or is he being, like,
he's being
downgraded?
He's being demoted.
Demoted, yeah.
And he takes it as a personal slight, and he thinks it's bullshit, and then he just ends up quitting.
He's great at freak
They
outs.
Downgraded his security clearance, and that set him off.
Another fun fact, the Coen brothers wrote the character Osborne Cox with John Malkovich in mind.
Okay.
And another fun fact about this movie, they wrote the screenplay for this while they were adapting the screenplay for No Country for Old Men, the Academy Award winning film. Apparently, they would like switch every other day. They'd be like, okay, we're going to adapt
this. Write some real serious shit.
We're going to adapt this epic Cormac McCarthy novel today, and then the next day, yeah, let's go back to our spy thriller with Brad Pitt and a funny haircut. Cut now to his home life. We're introduced to Osborne's wife. They call him Ozzy in this movie. So, you know, Ozzy, who is Katie, and later a house party with their friends, including the Farrs, played by George Clooney, and Elizabeth Marvel as Sandy. You may know her from SVU.
Yeah, you do. She's a district attorney. Or she's a defense attorney.
She's a defense. She's like the high. She's like the high state. Like the super expensive one. Like all the super rich.
All the super rich,
controversial
white dudes who date rape people hire her to get them off.
This is some
get them
like,
off how?
Weeknight house party. By the way,
is she an escort?
No, like get them like so they don't get charged.
Oh.
Yeah, she's their defense attorney on SVU.
She was also on.
She was in House of Cards.
House of Cards, yeah, she was on House of Cards.
Tilda's like, you didn't get the cheese.
You didn't get the cheeses.
There are 30 fucking people at the house.
What kind of
and
what
you're
is this?
Worried about a cheese?
I mean, what
he had
people
one
gonna,
job.
What are people going to eat?
Just cheese, apparently.
Because we also find out that, you know, Ozzy isn't really, like, a very warm person because of his interactions with him and George Clooney. Like,
John Malkovich.
Because George Clooney's sitting there, he's like, what is this? Is this, like, goat cheese or something? I have a lactic reflux or something. He's like, do you have a lactose intolerance or a reflux? They're 2 different things.
Well, he's a fuck. George Clooney's a liar.
Oh, so you misspoke then.
So
he just needs attention.
Yeah.
Also, he's obsessed with people's floors.
Yeah. George Clooney is
Pine?
George Clooney is very un-George Clooney in this movie.
He really is.
Like, his obsession with the flooring in every scene and cheese.
And exercise.
Oh, my God. I can get a run.
I think I can fit a run.
I can get a run.
And it's also revealed that we find out that...
And sex.
Oh, and George Clooney, his character's name is Harry. It's also revealed that Katie, Tilda Swinton, and Harry, George Clooney, are fucking. They're
bizarre.
They're having an affair.
Just 2 really unlikable people.
Which she won her Oscar for a George Clooney movie.
So Ozzy, after the party, Ozzy reveals to Katie that he quit. It's not taken well. He insists he can still make money by maybe possibly consulting or writing. He's always been thinking about writing a memoir.
A memoir?
Memoir. Like, yeah, that it's like nails. It's like nails on a chalkboard when he's like talking.
Every time he says it,
I'm like, just say memoir. He's like, my memoir?
My memoir.
again, Tilda Swinton's doing her, like, beauty regimen or whatever. Allegedly, she modeled her character's hairdo after Edna Krabappel, the teacher from The Simpsons.
Oh, yes, yes.
But Katie immediately goes on the offensive and hires a divorce lawyer. Also has a another late-night dalliance with Harry while Ozzy is out.
I'm really trying to imagine what that sex is like.
Because her lawyer advises that she gets, like, a picture of his financials, like, what he looks like and all that sort of stuff, so she can go on the offensive and shore up her own sort of stuff.
That's just good divorcing.
Mm-hmm.
If I learned anything from Sutton on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, you get an attorney who looks at finances.
So then after this, we are now, we're introduced to another key player in this movie. We're now introduced to Frances McDormand's character, who is named Linda Litsky.
Dude.
Linda Litsky.
I can't with this.
She's having a consultant with a plastic surgeon.
She wants her boobs done.
Well, no,
she wants everything.
She wants
done.
The whole kit.
She wants a mommy makeover for never having kids.
She wants. She's having multiple surgeries that she needs.
She's having a midlife crisis.
She needs them because she is trying to reinvent herself.
I screamed at the television when she was trying to get it approved by her insurance company. I literally was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You gotta
about?
Go for no.
She was
all right?
fighting.
You don't know if you don't try.
Well, the fact that the person was like, yes, but you're choosing to have this. No, I need this because I'm reinventing. But it's elective. No.
It's no. She's career. Like, I work in a business where image is everything.
I kept looking at Matt. I was like, what? What?
So yeah.
What's going on?
These people do exist.
So idiots? Yes.
Well, yeah. Some of us are related to them.
These are the dumbest people alive.
This is Frances McDormand's seventh film with the Coen brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you know, there's Blood Simple. Oh, shit. She's a Quad Pro Quo alum, too, because she was in Raising Arizona with the Dip Tap.
The Dip Tap.
I am so sorry. Yo. I am so sorry that I forgot that.
The Dip Tap.
Another fun fact, a lot of the fun facts that I pulled were about, like, the makeup and the hairstyles and everything. Frances McDormand's haircut wig was inspired by Linda Tripp's hairstyle during the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Fire. So, straight fire.
So, yeah. So, we get more of Linda's life. She works at a gym in the D.C. area, Hard Bodies. It's called Hard Bodies. And is looking for love via the internet. Remember, this is 2008, so this is a relatively new thing. It's not, internet dating is not what it is now.
Right.
Like, it was like, kind of like, you know.
No, she used to do pretty well for herself.
One of her really good friends is her coworker, Chad, who is played by Brad Pitt, who, again, is in a ridiculous haircut.
It's very 90s boy band.
And like Allie kind of alluded to earlier, she is also trying to get her surgeries paid through her insurance.
So annoying.
And she's very determined. She does not take no for an answer.
She does not.
I know, again, we're an audio podcast. You just watch the movie and look at Brad Pitt's hair. It's so
frosted, high and tight.
High and tight, frosted tips. Like, it's a lot. Hey, it kind of looked, if you watch the Super Bowl, like J.J. Watt's, not sure what he was thinking before he decided to do that to his hair, but yeah.
Yeah,
like
he should have put that Burnley cap back on.
Oh, God.
Also, I guess they wrote this character with Brad Pitt in mind because they wanted to have him in a movie. So
we need you to play a moron. You think you can do that?
And also, the building that was turned into the Hard Bodies gym was in Paramus, New Jersey, and apparently the crew did such a good job, people came in and thought it was an actual gym and wanted to sign up for membership.
That's nice.
We keep going with Linda right now. We get a glimpse into her love life where, like, she's on this dating profile where she doesn't have to submit a pic, but the dudes have to submit a pic. And then she just walks into the park and, like, the dude that she wanted to date is there.
He's such a limp noodle.
He's basically beige, if beige were a person.
Taupe. He's more like a taupe.
He's white toast. No jam or
doesn't
butter.
Laugh. He doesn't.
She
like,
still fucks
mayo
him,
is spicy.
And
still
and then
fucks
she
him.
Finds out
well,
that he's married.
He fucks her and it's missionary and it's
yeah,
quiet.
Cause, and yeah, the date starts.
You don't even. It's not all you hear. You literally see him just
slam his balls right into her butt.
It's not even like, good. They're no, just like.
Terrible.
They're just mashing it together. You know?
Ew. It's almost like it's ritualistic, right? Like we go on a date. Mm-hmm. We eat. We go to a movie.
Yeah. That,
you didn't make a face when you came. That's serial killer shit.
Yeah, like this is what we do next when we're in our 30s, and now we go home.
That movie within a movie was titled Coming Up Daisy.
Oh, that's right. Who's in it?
Claire Danes and Dermot Mulroney.
Dermot Mulroney, yes.
Damn it, would you come down from there?
And, oh my God. And
an Easter egg about that poster of that movie. It says it was based on a book written by Cormac McCarthy.
That's funny.
I'm sorry. No, I thought that was funny because Cormac McCarthy is the guy that wrote No Country for Old Men. And there's no way that he could ever have written a rom-com because he was like...
That man's heart is black.
He's like Werner Herzog of movies. We're back to Katie and Harry again. They're fucking on Ozzy's boat. And Katie admits that she's divorcing Ozzy and wants Harry to do the same with Sarah. We also get a glimpse of... Clooney's other extracurriculars because he's going to Home Depot and he's
Dude, he fucks everybody.
He's grabbing some like some metal, like some pipe, and he's like doing something. Like we don't know what.
He's tinkering.
He's something.
He's got an idea and he's building
like,
something.
He's like Guido. Like he just tinkers.
Those hands gotta stay busy. Idle hands, man.
And this is something that I like about it. We constantly get like the camera angles, like it looks like it's from a inside of another car. Like they're like watching. Like it's sort of like
this is so funny.
Like an espionage thing. Like he's just getting, you know,
he thinks he's being cheating.
He's cheating on his wife, and then after he cheats, it's like, oh, there's a car watching him.
He thinks he's being followed.
So like
spooks, it's private investigators.
It's got like this tension that you feel like the other shoe was about to drop at any second.
And then he runs. He runs away.
He likes to run.
Yes.
You can fit him in.
Not so, just for exercise.
No.
We cut back to Hard Bodies. Linda is still arguing. She's still arguing with her insurance.
I think that's a movie from the 80s.
Yes.
Hard Bodies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure my dad took my mom to see it.
Oh my God.
Was she a hooker by day?
Hooker by day?
No, student by day.
Oh, student by day.
Hooker
All right.
by night.
Aerobics instructor by day. Hooker by night.
Your poor mom.
Oh, Hard Bodies is a 1984 comedy movie.
Oh, man. There's a sequel to it, too.
Oh, thank goodness.
Shut the fuck
up. Let me guess. Steve Guttenberg's in it.
No, like, no one is in this movie.
No, it's just, it's softcore.
I have never. California sizzles when older rich men chase hard bodies in this hilarious summertime comedy.
Ask Guido what movie he brought me to see.
Are the Barbarian Brothers in it?
It says the dumpy, frumpy, and lumpy singles rent a beach house to take advantage of the people on the beach. Oh my God, this looks terrible.
What was our first date movie?
Wait, did you guys see Borat?
Yeah.
Ew.
This fucker.
Very nice.
Ew. Hey, you continued to date him, so...
Yeah, I know.
That sounds like a drop on your part there, friend.
So...
It was a win.
Aw.
So, yeah.
It's bigger than most. I'm just saying.
So Linda is still arguing with her insurance about these surgeries. When she goes into their boss's office, who hasn't really been introduced yet, it's Richard Jenkins, who plays Ted.
Love him.
Wonderful.
Love Richard Jenkins.
She's complaining about their HMO.
Which is so funny, by the way.
I mean, it's something to complain about.
Brad Pitt's just sitting there, and he's just like, oh, dude, Manolo here found this CD on the floor in the women's locker room. And, like, it's like that deadpan, like, Coen Brothers, like, dialogue where it just keeps going back and forth. And Manolo's just like, yeah, I found it on the floor. He's like, dude, this is the shit. This is some top secret intelligence shit.
Oh, yeah, because they look at it and it's like...
Because it's like CIA stuff.
Right.
It's files and shit.
It's files. And Ted, Richard Jenkins, is like, I don't feel comfortable with this here.
He is very uncomfortable.
He's
the whole
very
time.
Uncomfortable with this.
I would be the Richard Jenkins of the movie.
I...
Fucking pussy.
I would. I would be like, this needs to get out of my store.
Get it out of Hard Bodies.
Get it out of Hard Bodies. I don't want to have anything to do with it.
I like how he treats Hard Bodies like it's a sacred thing.
Yes.
I'm not here.
We cannot be associated with this.
That's not the type of stuff we want here at Hard Bodies.
Yeah.
He's also just like, we need to take a break right now.
Oh, we need to take a break.
Yes. And talk about some of the other excellent podcasts in the Deluxe Edition Network. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Marissa.
Hi.
I'm Alicia. And we're just dropping in to let you know that we are doing literally what everyone else you know is doing.
Starting a podcast.
Hell yeah. And it's called I Need Some Creep.
Yeah, we will be talking about horror movies that we love, horror movies that we hate, and making some pretty inappropriate jokes along the way.
Oh yeah, it's going to be so fun.
So fun. So please tune in every Sunday, the Lord's Day.
Yeah, to hear us geek out about horror. Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it. Do it.
Do it.
Yeah.
And we're back.
Shut up. And we're back. We're back.
Well, my headphones, my one ear is going in and out.
We're better. We're stronger.
We're back.
We're better
than ever. You fuckers. We're back. We're better. That's later in the movie. We're getting ahead of ourselves here.
Oh, well, it's still funny.
We now find out, it turns out that Harry is just as obsessive with cheating on his wife as he is with running and floors. I mean, he's not only cheating on his wife with Tilda Swinton, he's also just trolling the internet now too. Because he had that one date with that rando, and she's like, Harry? Oh, it's me, Linda. He's like, well, hello.
He's such a pervy, gross person.
He's just into flat surfaces. That's what he bones on.
Oh, my God. You know what I mean?
And apparently the gold chain that he wears,
that was
his idea. Because he's like, I think that this guy would be a guy that wears a gold chain.
What is that, red oak? Nice.
Because he meets Linda.
Not yet.
You just said Linda.
No, I'm sorry.
You said he meets her in the park.
No, not Linda. He meets another woman at lunch.
Oh, that's remember, right. That's right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot what her name was. It was like Laura or something that. Okay. And then we cut to Linda's house. She gets a late night call from Chad, who he's like, I know the guy. He comes over and he's like, I got this friend who's like into computers and does all this crazy shit. By the way, you got anything that I could drink? Like, you got any water here or anything? I rode my bike here.
Squirrel, do you have any water? Yeah.
She says
she's like,
no.
She's like,
does she say no?
No. He's like, you got anything to drink? Like water or something? She's like, I got tap water. He's like, ew, DC swamp water?
I mean, that's true.
So he's like chugging orange juice while he's like, the files belong to Osborne Cox.
Osborne Cox.
We should call him and tell him that his shit is secure.
His shit.
And then, you know, he'll give us like the Good Samaritan tax.
That's what he says, because he's a fucking idiot.
It's a Good Samaritan tax.
And then he calls him at nighttime.
He calls him and it's just...
He's
it's
in like 2 bed.
A.m. It's already sleeping.
I mean, Osborne Cox.
This is my favorite scene.
Is this Osborne Cox?
Who is this? What time is it? Who are you?
I'm a Good Samaritan. I'm sorry I'm calling at such an hour, but I thought you might be worried.
Worried?
About the security of your shit.
What on earth are you talking about? Who am I speaking to?
Your files, the documents. I know these documents are sensitive, but I am perfectly willing to give back to you your sensitive shit. You know, at a time of your choosing.
What documents are you talking about?
Osborne Cox?
Hello, it's Osborne Cox. Who the fuck are you?
What documents are you talking about?
Okay. The bureau chief in Belgrade, we all call Slovak the Butcher. He had very little rapport with his staff and his dispatches.
Rapport.
Very little rapport with his staff, fucking moron.
How did you get this?
It is so funny.
Exactly how I'd answer the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Because like it does
what
not go
the
well.
Fuck
it
does, do you want?
It does not go well.
It is just so funny.
And then Tilda Swinton's like, "Well, wait, what's wrong?" He's like, "These people apparently got a hold of my memoir."
She's like, "Well, who the fuck would care about that?"
She's like, "Who the fuck would think that's worth anything?"
Yeah. Everyone has terrible
what
wives in our movies.
Bitch.
This month.
Yeah. After the phone call, Linda proposes that since they didn't get the Good Samaritan tax, that they blackmail him for money. And she's
what
like,
"What was the Good Samaritan tax exactly? How much money was that supposed to
be?" I don't know. It's just,
they made it up.
I know, but I'm, in their mind,
what's 30% of zero?
What did they think it was going to be?
A lot, a lot.
Enough to pay for her non-insurance covered elective plastic surgery.
Probably $50,000.
No, she said she was like $50,000. Can you put a serious dent in my surgeries? Yeah. And then he, and Brad Pitt's just like. Yeah.
Brad Pitt doesn't care. Dude, he's just like in he's, it.
He's just in it because he wants his friend to be happy.
And he's got shit.
He has no idea what he's doing. He's like the equivalent of like a border collie in the
Yeah,
movie.
He's like, yeah, no, he's yeah. legit
ball,
like.
Ball, ball,
he's,
ball,
he's
ball,
just,
ball.
He's just a dog. He's like,
yes.
Yeah.
He's running off of endorphins.
Oh my God.
He's just a happy guy.
Like after this scene, we get another divorce lawyer meeting. The guy's going on and on about being at the Kennedy Center Honors. And then we find out what the disc actually is.
His memoir.
The disc is, yeah, it's the copy of, no, it's a disc of the files from his computer, which includes like all of his financial sort of stuff, as well as his memoir.
Okay, that's right.
And Linda is out on a date again, walking through the park, looking at the dudes on the benches, and who does she see?
Somebody with great teeth.
I got the feeling that like she was there to see a different man, and then she saw Harry, and then she just said someone else's name, and was like, "Yup."
No, she said. No, she said. She's like.
She did.
She said.
She says Harry.
She's like Harry, and he's like Harry, and he's like, "Huh?" It's like it's me, Linda. And he's like, and he was like, "Well, hello there," like he did with the last one.
It just seemed like he wasn't expecting her to.
Harry's only a good name, but Jamie Lee Curtis is screaming it.
I don't know. I got that impression.
And they have this date. They hit it off. Like, they're having fun eating food. He steals off of her plate. They go on and talk about... And then he just keeps talking about, again, how he's never had to fire his gun. I'm sorry. He did bring that up at the beginning of the movie as well.
Also, the utter, like, savagery of this man to prep his house like he is separated...
Disgusting.
Like
that hasn't happened yet. But
he does tell her that.
Yeah, he goes back to Linda's apartment. He's like, ooh, ooh, it's a good floor. What is this? Like rolling wood?
Oh my God!
It was a burled poplar.
Yes.
And then he's like, look, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I am still technically married, but
she
we're
would not
separate.
Give a fuck. She would.
She did. She literally did.
She wants to bone.
She gave him one fuck.
But we're separated. Blah blah blah. And he goes in this whole thing, and yes, then they fuck. This is George Clooney's third film with the Coen brothers. Following Oh Brother, Where Art Thou and Intolerable Cruelty. These movies have been dubbed the Trilogy of
Idiots. Oh, I've seen Intolerable Cruelty. I didn't realize that was a Coen brothers movie. That movie's not good.
You've seen Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Not all the way through.
These three films have been dubbed the Trilogy of Idiots by the Coen brothers.
I don't like it. Intolerable Cruelty's not that good.
They have a really good track record, but they do have some misses.
They got some stinkers.
And that was one of them. I think Lady Killers was another one. You know, that one with Tom Hanks?
Where he's like a weird southern, like, Foghorn Leghorn character.
And he looks like...
And they're
he
stealing...
Looks like,
or
he,
like
looks like Colonel he looks like Colonel Sanders meets Mark Twain. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, poor Ted, Richard Jenkins, he has to sit there and listen to Linda going on about her date with Harry, despite the fact that he's fucking in love with her. Like, he's just sitting there. He even says, he's like, well, I mean, are you sure any of this shit that he's saying to you is true, Linda?
Yeah.
What if he's just some random guy that's just lies on the internet?
He's the only good person in this movie.
Just to hook up with women. So now, Linda and Chad decide they're going to continue with their blackmail scheme now with Osborne. And they set up a meeting with him. Chad gets in the car. And he's like, Osborne Cox.
Yes, keeps just saying his name. It's just
he's like, yes, are you Mr. Black? Blah, blah. He's like, I know who you are. And he's like, yes, but appearances can be deceptive. And he just keeps saying that.
I lost brain cells watching this movie. I felt dumber afterwards.
And then Osborne just goes off and just punches him right in the nose. Just bam!
And he was just so shocked.
He was like, he was about to cry.
He's like, oh, you fuck!
He
you
did fuck! Not. He didn't expect it at all.
He gets out. You know, Osborne is sitting there just like, I know who you are, you fucker, and speeds off. And then what happens is we get this super crazy high octane chase scene that makes the stuff that we've seen like in movies like Gone 60 Seconds look like child's play. It's what? Such, okay. It's this really crazy car chase scene.
What?
I mean, we were all watching the same movie, right? It was ridiculous. Like, a Mercedes being chased by some piece of shit.
It is a piece
Ford.
Of shit car.
Yeah, yeah. He is holding his nosebleed back pretty well.
And then after rear-ending Cox's Mercedes, Linda and Chad do a 180 and drive to the Russian embassy.
To try and
sell their files to the Russians.
They went to the Russians?
The Russians?
The Russians?
The Russians?
I feel like the Coen brothers just took darts and threw them at cards with words on them for this movie. All right, usually they're driving. Where are they going? Russian embassy. What's the name of the gym? Ooh, you know, I watched this movie the other night, Hard Bodies. Ooh, the gym name. Yay. Good job, Joel. Thanks, Ethan. Like that.
But I mean, the Russians thing, it kind of makes a joke later.
But this movie is just ridiculous. Because
these two are idiots.
What should George Clooney be obsessed with? Running, wood floors.
Teeth.
Dickmobiles. Like
allergies.
Allergies. Cheese.
He's a brilliant, okay, inventor.
Yes. All right? Yes.
And he has a vision that will come to light, man.
So Harry and Katie are having lunch again. Katie keeps trying to push the pressure on Harry to leave Susan, but he keeps balking on the idea. So Tilda Swinton, Katie comes home. She sees the wrecked car and John Malkovich is literally assed out on the chair. Like his ass is, he is face down, ass up, but he's not trying to fuck.
No.
He's just
drunk
off his ass. And then again, we have another date with Harry and Linda. They see coming up daisies, which Linda has never seen before.
And George thinks it's hilarious.
She saw it with the other date.
Yeah.
But he didn't laugh.
Would and you George, come down from there?
George.
And yes, this is when we get to the part where they go back to Harry's house. And he methodically went and made the house look like it's getting packed up.
The absolute savagery. Like,
because the wife...
What a piece of shit.
Because his wife...
He's trying to bury his bone.
He has a wife...
You gotta set the stage.
And the side piece.
His wife, of course, is on a book tour right now for her...
In Seattle.
Including Seattle.
Very, very...
I'm crazy about you, baby.
Ew, he is like that.
Well, yeah, he does say that.
Seattle's very important.
Also, that was another glimpse of, like, Harry working on this mystery project down in the basement when his wife is like, I'm going on my book tour now. What are you doing down here? He's like, oh, nope, it's a surprise. Can't see it yet. When Linda comes over, he's like, I'm working on this thing. You want to come downstairs and see it? He's like, I saw this thing in this gentleman's magazine. It says it costs, like, $1,500. I'm like, shit. I could do that. I could do it for like, I could do this for like $100. And yes, like you were saying, this is something that Guido would probably do.
I screamed.
Like, she's, yeah.
In excitement?
So look, I got an idea, Tams.
I saw like the dildo pop up and I was like, oh!
She's sitting there, like we're sitting there
watching. That's what you would say if you were sitting on the chair also.
Yes, you would.
We're sitting cold there, toilet we're sitting seat. There watching. And like, I legit remember when I saw this in theaters, I'm like one of five or six people in the theater and we all just were like, what?
A dick! A pink one!
Because what was George Clooney building? This mystery project? He made a homemade self-propelling sex chair.
That would fuck you with each pump of your feet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He's just like, yeah, you just sit here, you put your feet in the stirrups, you grab the handles and move. Ooh. And whoop! It just...
What? Who's he making it for? Himself?
Exactly.
No, it's like, for bitches.
He made it.
He said that.
He's just going to watch other people use the chair?
Like, I mean, some people like that stuff. So.
He made it for his wife. Because remember, when he was trying to get her to come home, he's like, come on, baby. Your present's done.
Ew.
He just wanted her to be able to fuck herself.
For me...
Well, he's fucking everybody else.
Because I saw this movie first, so, but the thing that I now think of whenever I see something like this, it's Always Sunny. Because Mac made a
Fuck bike.
A fuck bike. He made, you know, it's one of those stationary bikes, stationary exercise bikes.
Oh,
bike.
I think I've seen that. And
it has
a fist.
like a dick that shoots up from it. Yeah. All right. And remember, it only cost him $100 to put together, Mike.
Wild.
Compared to the, but I mean,
Doesn't he say most of the cost was the actual.
Some PVC,
you know,
some wood.
The dildo. Those things are expensive.
Because he was like, yeah, I'm not cut out to mold plastic or anything like that or silicone.
I wonder if you could swap it out for like something bigger, if you wanted a different size.
You just throw a different one on.
So then now we go to another like bar dinner scene. Ozzy's meeting up with a guy that presumably tailed Chad and Linda. They went to the Russians? They're like, yeah, they went to the Russian embassy. The fucking Russians? What?
Why would anyone do that?
The Russians?
The Russians?
He gets served. He gets served his divorce papers. He comes home to find his stuff all out on the front porch in the pouring rain, and the locks have been changed.
She did it quick.
Mm-hmm. Gabriel Hellfire was a dick.
So
she was in Constantine.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She was.
I've never seen that movie.
Guido loves that movie.
I know. My favorite. He's going to change his mind now.
My favorite part of that movie
was when
the dude got hit by the truck in the very beginning. I laughed my ass off when that scene happened.
Same.
And he got possessed because he got possessed by that demon at that point.
Oh, yeah, it's the spear of Long Ines. So like you got to watch out.
And it made him invincible.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just a fucking ridiculous.
And there's two Rachel Weisz in there. She's a twin.
Now Linda again is still desperate to try and please the Russians. The Russians?
The Russian?
The fucking Russians?
And she promises to get them more files. So she convinces Chad to break into the Cox house.
Ugh, poor Chad.
And she's like, here's what you're gonna do. You're gonna wear that suit again. You're gonna cut off all the labels on your suit, and you're gonna break in there
just
and
like
get
the
more
Joker.
Files. According to the costume designer Mary Zofris, even cheap suits look good on Brad Pitt.
Everything looks good on
so
Brad Pitt.
They had to, when they put him in a cheap suit, she had to get one with a suit that was purposely bad and ill-fitting. And a horrid-looking wool tie. Chad breaks into the house, but who then comes in but Harry? Because, you know, Katie and Harry, you know, Katie and George Clooney were fucking in the house now since Ozzy has been kicked out.
It's easier because he's got that fucking wedge.
Oh, yeah.
That he likes to slide under his lady's butt. Yeah.
Chad is trapped in the house. Like, again, this is the biggest thing that I can't stand in any movie. If you see someone coming in, why do you run upstairs?
Welcome to horror movies.
He could have just ran. He could have just ran back downstairs and gone out the
As
way.
As you have said, he is a fucking idiot.
Exactly. No.
Just.
Give him a pair of tits and he's just a dumb person in a horror movie.
Yes. So he runs upstairs and Harry comes upstairs. Harry goes to take a shower. Chad hides in the closet.
Okay. I'm in the closet.
Just
lucky Chad.
Just like fucking Halloween, basically. But unfortunately,
you get night stabbed.
He doesn't fashion himself a knife out of a coat hanger.
No.
And stab George Clooney in the eye.
And what happens is George Clooney
blows his load.
Opens the closet. Brad Pitt comes out to be like,
and the face is
he makes
hard.
A smiling. Like, he goes, I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the most innocent, like,
it's
I'm
like
in the
still
wrong
us.
Place at the wrong
and then,
time.
And then the thing that we've been foreshadowing the whole movie, because George Clooney is like, I've never fired my gun. Guess what? He fires his gun point blank into Chad's
face.
Head.
Yeah.
Forehead. RSVP Chad.
Poor Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt is now dead, and now I lost half the audience in the podcast.
Yep.
I mean, hopefully George Clooney...
You killed Brad Pitt.
George Clooney could still do it for you?
Oh, I still like George, yeah. Although he's repulsive in this movie. Although that dick chair was a point.
It's pretty funny.
A point.
I mean, Harry's freaking out. He runs downstairs. He grabs a knife, and then he runs back upstairs and is like, ah! He kicks at his foot. He does
this part was very strange. He was
He's
afraid
in shock.
Of a dead man.
This
He's
part,
in shock.
This part was strange.
He didn't know.
Know how to respond.
He then goes through his stuff. He sees that the labels are all cut off on his suit. There's no ID in the wallet. There's just like small bills. So he's like,
he's like a John Doe in his closet.
So like Guido was saying earlier, he thought he was like some sort of intelligent spook,
a mole,
a ghost, basically a spooky ghost.
Spooky ghost,
a black hat.
Does he count as somebody I could have sex with who's a ghost?
Well, he's technically dead now.
Yes.
A good point.
Yeah.
Do you want ghosts, baby? Like, no. Ghosts come everywhere.
So now we cut back to Langley, where the movie started, the CIA headquarters. This whole incident, this whole movie has been closely monitored by the CIA because Osborne's former boss has to go to his boss, who is played by Academy Award winner J.K. Simmons. You may know him as J. Jonah Jameson from Spider-Man, Whiplash. He's also the yellow M&M in the M&M commercials.
I hear he buys pictures of Spider-Man.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He still does it, too, even after he won his Oscar. Ozzy's boss is trying to explain the situation to J.K. Simmons. And J.K. Simmons, who is obviously just as confused as the audience.
Everyone's bewildered.
As what is going on in this movie. He's like, wait, what?
Yeah, they went. Like, bring it back to me when it makes sense, I guess.
He was like, wait, they went to the Russians? That's how they found out, because somebody in the Russian embassy told the CIA that somebody was there leaking. He's like, so wait. What's this analyst's clearance? He's like, level 3. And he's like, oh, okay, who gives a shit? call me when...
Dump his body in the river, whatever.
Call me when something happens. So Linda now is devastated because she hasn't seen Chad. She doesn't know where he is. And she thinks the Russians did something to him. Richard Jenkins is really worried about her. I mean, Ted's really worried about her. Someone came in to ask about her. He's like, you're changing, Linda. I don't like what's going on here with you.
Is it purposeful that everyone has like really lame names in this movie? Ted.
Harry.
Linda.
I feel like they're everyman names.
It's like, her name's Linda, like Linda Tripp. Yeah,
it's like Guido's family's names.
One side of the family.
One side of the family, yeah.
Yeah, I just feel like they're kind of...
Right?
I just feel like they're kind of everyman
Except
names.
Except for Oswald Cobblepot or whatever
Osborne Cox.
Osborne Cox.
I mean, come on, Brad Pitt.
Osborne Cox.
Harry is clearly going through some shit because, you know, he just murdered someone.
Yes.
He has a fight with Katie, storms off with their sex pillow. He goes back to his house. Before he goes back to his house, he again thinks he's being followed. He sees a car with somebody in there watching him. So he decides, and the guy sees him watching him. So the guy's trying to escape, but he's too compacted on the street and like parallel parking. And George Clooney just decides he's going to take his station wagon and ram it into the side of this guy's car. And then the guy jumps out. He's running away. He tackles him. He's like, who are you? He's like, Tuckman Marsh. I work for Tuckman Marsh. He's like, you're Tuckman Marsh? He's like, no, I work for Tuckman Marsh. What is that, a law firm? He's like, no, it's a rock band. Of course it's a law firm.
It's a very Who's On First.
Yeah, where we find out that Harry's wife, Sarah, is filing divorce against Harry.
But she's in Seattle.
Cut to Seattle
and her making out with another man.
Yeah, even she's fucking around. Everybody's fucking. I feel like everybody but Chad was fucking around in this movie.
No, Ted.
Well, Chad didn't fuck either.
Yeah.
He just got fucked.
I don't think he has parts. I think it's like a Ken doll down there.
Well, he's Knuff.
He is Knuff.
Now, finally, even though, again, we really don't know what the fuck's happening in this movie, everything is coming to, it feels like it's coming to a head. Ozzy, in a drunken stupor, sees his accounts are overdrawn and has had enough. Linda gets thrown out of the Russian embassy, and she's like, oh, well, I could go other places. Harry destroys his $100 homemade sex chair.
Oh, no.
With a baseball bat.
Desperate to help Linda, Ted decides he's going to break into the Cox house to get more of the files. Harry is still distraught, and Linda breaks down about Chad. We also find out that Katie is a fucking... The most shocking thing in this movie, they keep saying she's a doctor.
She's a pediatrician.
She's a fucking pediatrician.
That is the coldest woman I have ever seen in my life.
Would you give your kids to that woman?
No.
Yeah, she says something along the lines of, if you don't let me stick this needle in your arm, I'm going to send your mother away, and we're going to work it out in the dark.
Yeah, she's a terrifying person.
Yeah.
All right, so Ozzy breaks into his own house, his old house, with an axe. He's like,
this is it.
He's like, tell Dr. Cox, I have the new keys. And he just takes a little hand axe from his boat and just breaks in.
My Boy Scout hatchet.
He starts stealing back his booze, and here's...
That was the first thing he stole.
He does, yeah, the booze.
And then he goes upstairs, and he's like going through the jewelry and everything, when he hears that somebody's downstairs.
And then he, like, puts it in the booze box, which I really appreciated, because at least, like, it's not going to be the first thing that they take out of his hands. You know what I mean?
But he also grabs his old gun, because his gun was in the closet, because he hears somebody downstairs. He walks downstairs. Who does he see? He sees Richard Jenkins, Ted.
Oh,
and he's just like, yeah, you are in league with that woman. You are like the idiots I've been fighting my whole life.
In my memoir.
He shoots Richard Jenkins. Richard Jenkins, or Ted, throws something at him to escape, runs out the front door. Malkovich, or Osborne Cox, is like just going, intruder! Intruder! And then takes the axe and just starts wailing on Ted.
Right on the street.
Oh my God.
Hatchets the man to death. Right in the front of their house.
Ridiculous.
RSVP Ted.
Hard body didn't help.
Linda.
Now he's got the hardest body with the rigor mortis.
Mm-hmm.
Linda and Harry meet at the park. Linda tells Harry more about her friend Chad and where he disappeared. And she's like, oh no, I know where he was going. He was going to this place. He was going to Osborne Cox's house. And Harry just goes full on paranoid and thinking that she's part of some elaborate thing to try and, you know.
Who are you?
Sting him. And he just runs away. And then Linda drives off. She's covered by three or four cars and a helicopter looking down at her. All said and done, we're back at Langley. Ozzy's boss comes back to J.K. Simmons since Ozzy shot Ted. He then says Harry was trying to flee to Venezuela. And he's like, we don't understand why he's going to Venezuela. And J.K. Simmons is like, we don't have extradition with Venezuela. So what do you want us to do? Put him on the next fucking plane to Venezuela.
It was hilarious in this movie.
And he's like, so what's the deal with Ozzy? He's like, well, our person surveying him shot him. Oh, so he's dead. That's good. He's like, no, he's in a coma. Is he going to wake up? No. He's like, oh, all right, well, whatever. We'll just lump that in with if he does wake up. The only person that's left in this whole thing is Linda. She's in custody as well. And she said that she will be quiet as long as we pay for her surgeries. and he's like, wait, what? And then the guy's like, yeah, apparently there's like an itemized list of what she needs done. He's like, well, whatever, just fucking pay him. All said and done, J.K. Simmons is probably just as dumbfounded as the rest of you about this movie. I'm not going to lie. I really wish that when we watched it together, I really wish, like, kind of like a throwback to our first episode of Return to Oz, where I'm like, I kept track of how many times I said, this is a kid's movie. I need acid, like that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I wish I had kept track of how many times Allie was like, what the fuck is going on? What is this? What am I watching?
What is the point of this movie? Like,
all I can really just say is kind of like with The Favorite, instead of saying it's Yorgos Lanthimos, it's the Coen brothers. What do you expect? It's the Coen brothers. My final fun fact about this movie, and it's like a Coen brothers staple. They kind of, ever since The Big Lebowski, people keep track of this sort of stuff. The word fuck and its derivatives is used 62 times in this movie, mostly by John Malkovich.
Yeah.
He says it the best.
That makes sense.
Including six times in the first 2 minutes.
He does say it a lot.
He does. So, yeah, that's my movie. Going around the room, pass, fail. I'm going to start with Guido.
I passed the silly movie. It had its moments. But we're doing a pass, fail, so I pass it.
What is that face?
Because it was fucking close, dude. It was just the dumbest motherfuckers. Well,
I mean, we are an audience.
I like John Malkovich, okay? And it's just, Malkovich saying the F word a lot alone, I will pass it. They're so goddamn dumb.
Everyone was dumb in this movie, yes. Tammy?
I really thought that John Malkovich was the funniest character in the movie. I love Ted. Second favorite character.
Richard Jenkins.
Always. Richard Jenkins' character is always my favorite character in any movie. It was a close one, but I'm gonna pass it because Chad fucking saved it.
I'm doing the Brad Pitt dance right now.
You fucking Osborne Chad.
Cox.
You didn't bring up the we're better. Or you never
I'm
said
better.
It.
Oh yeah. His aerobics thing.
I'm better.
I'm back. I'm better. You fuckers. I'm back.
Chad saved it.
Brad Pitt was the deciding factor on whether or not I picked this movie or we watched Fargo.
Mm, okay.
Because she's also said that she's never seen that the whole way through.
Nope.
Okay.
They put a human into a wood chipper.
I've seen that part.
And I mean, I'm sorry, as much as I love Steve Buscemi is one of the best, and he is a hero for his work as a fireman during the 9/11 sort of stuff. But I was just, you know what? I was just like, I'm going to think like a lady or whatever, like that stupid Steve Harvey book, and be like, she likes Brad Pitt. I'm going to pick the Brad Pitt movie.
I do like Brad Pitt.
You were thinking like a lady?
I was thinking like a lady, but acting like a man. That's what the title of that book was. I remember that because I used to work in a bookstore.
Oh.
All right. So, Birthday Girl. Remember, I picked this movie for you. I thought you'd like it.
I know. You've
never seen it.
I'm going to echo everyone else's remarks that it was close, to be honest. Because, again, I felt stupid after, and I don't like to feel stupid. And, yeah. I also sometimes, you know how I feel about like where I feel like I'm wasting my time when I watch things only to have the entire movie end up back where we started with her just getting the plastic surgery. But well,
we didn't end up where we started. She got the surgery. So we moved forward. I know.
We didn't get to see her hashtag new winning.
Yeah. I thought it was funny. I like to see George Clooney and I like to see everyone in kind of a different role except for John Malkovich because he's basically always that role. I liked the obsession with hardwood floors, and I liked the dick bike. So again, I passed it, but it was close. I really was thinking about failing it because I was like, this movie's just so fucking stupid. But I pass it. Oh, I forgot to say how my movie was also kind of an incest movie. I didn't explain it.
Please explain it now.
Beverly D'Angelo's character is Brogan, and Liam Neeson's character, his last name is Brogan as well. Like, they're distantly related, basically.
Those Brogans. Yeah. Bunch of Brogan fuckers, those
yeah,
Brogans.
Yeah, yeah, so again.
Them Brogans are fucking weird.
Yeah, they all fuck each other.
I pass it. That's all around.
That's a full pass for your movie.
All right. Well, we're going to keep this alley appreciation train rolling. Next stop is Tammy. So, Tammy, quid pro quo.
All right. My movie came out in 2004. It's directed by Tony Scott.
Oh.
It stars Denzel Washington, Christopher Walken, Dakota Fanning, and it has Radha Mitchell and Mark Anthony.
You're going to make me cry.
Ex-Mr. Jennifer Lopez.
Are you serious?
Ex-Mr. Jennifer Lopez. This movie is because Ali's dad, Lee, has said, how have you not seen this movie?
How have you not seen it, Allison?
How have you not seen this, Allison?
It's true.
You're going to fucking so cry, so late. I hope you...
I was literally about to say, I'm going to be like, no, we're doing Father's Day month in June.
Yeah, this is my dad appreciation month right now.
I love Denzel, quad pro quo alum.
Yes,
and
he is.
Dakota Fanning is a fucking excellent child actress. We're going to be watching Man on Fire.
I can't wait to cry with you.
Man on Fire.
You want to cry together,
and
Matt?
You can watch it on Max.
Nice.
Streaming.
Cool.
Or Prime. You can rent or buy on Prime Video or Amazon.
RSVP, Tony Scott.
Yes, RSVP. Okay, great. Man on Fire. I'm excited. Never,
heavy movie,
it's a blockbuster.
Man.
Never seen it, but you know I love me some Denzel.
So we'll have to hear what Lee thinks about you watching it.
I can tell you right now. Oh, it's great, Allison.
It's great.
And then that part when he jumped into the water.
After he went and saw The Equalizer 3, because he loves the Equalizer movies too, he was like,
Dakota Fanning is in it.
He did. He was like, and Dakota Fanning's in it. He's like, have you seen Man on Fire? I'm like, no, you've never seen Man. Like, it's like that.
Well,
it's
now you'll
it's full circle.
Yeah. You'll have something to tell him.
I'm going
to
tell him. He's like, circle. Oh, that's a great movie. That's a great
good
movie.
Good pick, Michelle. Good pick. Or good pick, Tammy. Good pick.
God damn it, Tammy.
You had one job.
Remember your name.
All right. Well, we are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and we are part of the Deluxe Edition Network. You can learn more about us and the other podcasts on the network at deluxeeditionnetwork.com. Feature podcasts for the month of March are Beard Laws, I Need Some Creep, and Bacon Is My Podcast. I did it without looking.
Nice.
Yes. You can suggest a theme month. I mean, we're pretty booked for the rest of the year, but, you know,
Please suggest something that's really cool, aka
Steve Gutenberg month. We would definitely roll that in.
We won't.
You go to hell. You go to hell and you die.
But you can suggest a theme month on our website or message us on social media. And please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next week, which technically is my birthday.
Yes.
And Man on Fire. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Osborne Cox.